Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I hope you can say it as well with your soul.
Amen.
And if it's not, this is the place for you to be. You all have to bear with me. Today I've been sick all week, and I'm very congested, and you probably hear it in my voice a lot, and I might be taking some drinks a lot. I might cough a couple times up here, but it'll all be good. Sometimes that hour change can be rough. Sometimes that extra hour of sleep is nice. We're going to be in Acts chapter 17 this morning. I hope you know that there is no person out there that doesn't need Jesus Christ. Every single one of us need Jesus Christ in our life. No matter how rich, no matter how poor that person might be, no matter how smart that person might be, that person needs Jesus Christ in their lives. See, Paul throughout his journey met so many different kinds of people, but Paul's message never changed. No matter who the crowd he was talking to, his message never changed. Acts chapter 17, verse 1 says, "When Paul and his companion had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. 'This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah,' he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women." I like verse 2. Verse 2 says, "As was his custom." Paul made it a priority in his life to preach the gospel. Sometimes I wonder, what priority does sharing the gospel have in our own lives? Where do we put sharing the gospel in our lives? Do we make it a priority to seek the lost and share the gospel with them? Share the good news, share the hope of salvation. Where is sharing the gospel in your life? I really want you to think about that. See, throughout Paul's journey, he shared the gospel with so many people. And just in this chapter, we're going to see three different places Paul goes. Whether Paul expected to go there, we're not for sure. We can tell for one instance that he didn't. See, Paul used every opportunity he had to share the gospel. No matter what was happening in his life, he shared the gospel. Verse 5, "But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other believers before the city officials, shouting, 'These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus.' When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go." There's only one king, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Right.
It seems like this was a common theme throughout Acts. Everywhere Paul would go, it seemed like some would believe, but some would become jealous. In your walk today, some people will become jealous of you. When God is doing great things, others on the other side may become jealous.
Amen.
Even other believers might become jealous of things God is doing in another believer's life. We focus so much on the things that we have, so much, like I talked about 2 weeks ago, on the seen instead of the unseen. We become jealous so often when we really should be focusing on God's work within the church, focusing on the people that have been saved throughout the journey of our own journey. Verse 10 says, "As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and explained the scriptures every day, to see if Paul and Silas was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men." Paul was using every opportunity to advance God's kingdom. We see he's in Thessalonica. He preaches there at night because the city is in turmoil. He has to move. He has to move to Berea. Well, what does Paul do? Most of us, what would we do? We would hide. We don't want to be thrown out on the streets. We don't want to be what Paul's already went through. He's been thrown out into the city. He's been beaten and left for dead. This has already happened. Most of us would have hid. But instead, they went to Berea. They went to the same thing that they've been doing. They went to the Jewish synagogue and they preached the gospel. The people who probably didn't want to hear it, but people believed. So many times we think people don't want to hear what we have to say, so we keep quiet. So many people don't want to hear what we say, so we just forget about it. See, all God wants us to be is willing. God wants us to be willing to go out into the world and preach the gospel to the nations, to preach Jesus Christ as King in their lives, to preach the hope of salvation that they might receive Him and might have eternal life in heaven. He wants a person who's not ashamed of the gospel. Someone who's not ashamed of Jesus' name. See, in this world, people don't want to hear that name. People don't want to hear the word repent. People don't want to hear the word that I must believe in Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the way, the truth, the life. People don't want to hear that. But that's the thing that they need. People need Jesus. We as Christians need Jesus. We need Him for everything in our lives. See, verse 13 now says, "But when the Jews of Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God to Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible." Here we go again. The same people that was from Thessalonica heard what Paul was doing in another city. Here they are, those jealous people, here to stir up the crowds, here to throw Paul off his journey, here to steer people away from Jesus Christ. The same thing happens today all around us. Those same ideas that people have still happen today. See, sometimes sharing the gospel is not going to be easy. Sometimes there's going to be people completely against the things that you're about, the things that you believe. But that should never stop us from preaching the gospel. It should never stop us from sharing that hope. Because once it stops us, where's the kingdom going? We must never give up on sharing the gospel to anybody. So many people feel inadequate to share the gospel with someone that they deem higher than themselves. There's no greater joy than sharing the gospel with somebody, even if the reaction is complete opposite, because you know that you're doing the will of God. Verse 16. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting place in the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking and listening to the latest ideas. Sometimes the things that you preach are going to seem a little weird to the people that are outside. See, most of the time, everything was good when Paul was preaching. Everything was good all up until he mentioned this one thing. This one thing, and that was the resurrection, which we'll see here at the end. Every time it seemed like Paul mentioned the resurrection, it threw everybody off. Some would split. But see here, Paul preached to a whole different type of group than he's ever preached to before. These were the high esteemed people in Athens. Athens was the city of education. These were the philosophers, the people. It says here, all they did was they listened and talked about the latest ideas. These were the people that people deemed to be the high-end people, the smart people, the rich people. But it didn't matter for Paul, and it shouldn't matter for us today. We should be able to stand before a professor of a high-esteemed university and talk about Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. Verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked along and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. Fun fact, when I was studying this whole idea of the unknown God, I was like, well, what is that? Well, what the Greeks would do is on a certain day, they had all these idols of worship, which was what Paul talked about here, is they would send a flock of sheep. They would send them out into the towns, and wherever that sheep would lie, they would sacrifice that sheep. They would sacrifice that sheep to the closest god, the closest idol that they could, that it was closest to. But if a sheep happened to lie where there were no idols, they would sacrifice it to the unknown God. Sometimes I think Christians are ignorant of the very thing they worship. Sometimes I think as people we are ignorant of the very thing we worship. Sometimes I think we're filled with idols, whatever idol that may be in your own life, whether it's money or popularity, intelligence, whatever it might be. Sometimes I think we focus on those things more than we focus on our Creator. See, they didn't quite understand who God was. They didn't quite understand who God was, and sometimes I wonder if the world doesn't quite understand who God is today. Verse 24. Then God made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Those six verses there, I think, are the best verses in this passage. I want you to know today that we did not make God, that God made us. He is our creator. He gives everything life. He gives everything breath. And the more that we understand that, the more that we realize that God is the one who is in control, the more that we realize it, the more that we can be on God's will and God's plan for our lives. The more we can really hone in on those things that we should do. Those things like preaching the gospel. Those things like preaching the gospel to a coworker, to preaching the gospel to our boss at work. Those things we find so hard in our lives. I like here it says, God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from us. Did you know God is not far from you? Whatever you might be going through in your life, God is right there with you. God is the one who gives life and breath. God is right there with you through whatever you might be going through. He did this so that they would seek him. God wants nothing more than for a person to seek him, to find him. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to turn away from your old life. He is calling a repentance to Athens. A people that are full of idols, full of gods, he has called them to repentance. Repentance from what? To turn from their evil ways. To turn from the idols in their lives. Do you understand you can work more effectively for the kingdom when you realize the sin in your life and repent from it? When you are pure and holy before God, God can use you better. Your prayers are more powerful. Verse 31. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dineas, a member of the Areopagus, and also a woman named Demarius, and a number of others. There will be a day when God judges this world. There will be a day when God judges this world, and those without Christ will be thrown into hell. Think about that for a moment. Shouldn't that very thing be a call to urgency? Shouldn't that very thing bring us to the point of urgency, knowing that the loved ones around us who don't have Christ may be cast into hell? Shouldn't we long after the lost, hoping and praying to God that they will seek him and that they will find him, that they will repent from their wickedness and come and bow before him, that they will have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm sure each and every one of us have friends and family members who we can think of on our minds who might not know him. God has given us so many opportunities into this world to share him with others. How am I sharing God with others? Am I just going through the motions in life? Am I just doing the day-by-day things? Am I just keeping to myself? Or do I have a sense of urgency for the lost in this world? So many people don't have this hope. So many people don't know who Jesus Christ is. But we're afraid. We're afraid of what people might say. We're afraid of the questions that they might ask us. You know, your biggest testimony is your own story in life, how you came to know Jesus Christ. The number one thing I've said to a person who doesn't know Christ is my own testimony on how Christ saved me. How did Christ save you? Where were you when you repented? Where were you when you asked Jesus Christ into your life? I hope you can think about that day and know the joy that is in that. To know how great it felt when God entered your heart. When Jesus Christ filled your life. Sometimes I wish people would be on fire for the gospel. Sometimes I wish that we'd just run out in the streets, yelling at the top of our lungs who Jesus Christ is. Sometimes I wish we would have that sense of urgency. Sometimes I feel like we become ignorant of the very thing we come here on Sunday to worship. Who is God to you? Who is God in your life? Is God just some idol of worship? Is he the same type of God as the people of Athens? They were no gods. Because there is only one true God. There's only one Father in heaven. There's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. And there is no way to heaven except through him. So many people will tell you otherwise. So many people will try to steer you off the path. Sometimes I wish we would just lay at his feet and ask him, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? See, when we really think about what God wants me to do with my life. See, in Sunday school we talked about spiritual gifts. Basically, most of the classes did a spiritual gifts test. Hopefully you can take that spiritual gift and advance the kingdom of God with it. Hopefully you don't just sit at home waiting for something to happen, but you have a sense of urgency to go out into the world, to preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples. Hell isn't a thing that most churches preach on anymore. Sometimes it makes us feel sad and gloom. But why? Because we know people that are going there. Who in your life do you have to share the gospel with? I want you right now to think of that one person, whoever it may be, I want their name to come across your mind. Why haven't I shared the gospel with them? And if I have, why did I stop? Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we share it once and they say no, so we never do it again. Sometimes we fear rejection. Sometimes we've got the no so many times. We got the no so many times that we've just been sitting. See, not everyone believed what Paul was saying. Not everyone came to Jesus Christ in Athens, but there were a few. Shouldn't that be enough? If even just one out of 100 was saved, could you imagine the celebration in heaven? You know, heaven, the angels, they don't consider that a loss. That one soul came to Christ. You came to Christ. Think of all the opportunities you have to share the gospel. Think about all the places you go every day. Then think about how many people might not know Christ there. See, He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. There is no way to heaven but through Him. You want to get out of the darkness? Trust the light. Amen. Who is the light? Jesus Christ. Sometimes we sit in the darkness because we're too afraid to go anywhere. Sometimes that opportunity that you might have might seem so hard and crazy and unimaginable. Trust in the light. So many hard things in this world, but there's so many things worth doing. One of those things is sharing the gospel. Most of us can say that we probably have trouble sharing the gospel. Either we're not outgoing enough. I'll tell you this, you don't need to be outgoing to share the gospel. You don't have to be crazy to share the gospel. Whether they might think you're crazy. Do you know what we preach is weird to the world? You know it's okay to be different from everybody else. It's okay not to conform to the pattern of this world. In fact, we're called not to. We live like this world so much when we should be separated from it. We should live separated from the world, longing for the world to come to us, not so that we would go into the world. See, revival is coming up next week. That would be the greatest opportunity for you, that person, that name that came across your mind, to bring them. So that they might be revived, so that they might come to repentance, so they might know the same hope that you know. I hope you plan on coming to the revival, because everybody needs revived. We all need to have the same feeling of that song that we sang. It is well with my soul. We need that in our lives, and we need Jesus. Those things that you need in life, guess who can provide those? Guess who is our provider? God. God is our provider in this world. Never give up sharing the gospel with somebody. Never give up, because you might be the only person in that person's life that will ever share Jesus with them. I'll share an instance, an instance I regret from time to time. We did this scavenger hunt for a Fusion a long time ago. And this was before Chris and Brandy. But we went to Jefferson Point. We did all these silly things, like sing happy birthday to someone who, a stranger there. And you had to take a video of it, prove. And we had all these things to do, these silly things. And we did all these things on this list, but there was one on the bottom that was worth the most points. Can you guess what that might have been? Share the gospel with somebody. Do you know nobody did that? Do you know our group prayed that if it was God's will that we were to share the gospel with somebody, that He would just bring him to us? That we wouldn't seek that person, that God would just bring them to us. This is almost when they're about to close, and we're in a store, and a person who worked there comes right to us and just starts having a casual conversation with us. And I felt the Holy Spirit prodding at me to share the gospel. Here's what you prayed for. And I never did. I missed my opportunity. I felt so guilty for going against the Holy Spirit that I went back there the next couple days and I never seen her again. I never seen that woman again. I missed my opportunity. Don't miss your opportunities. Don't miss that person in your life who needs the gospel, because you might not get to see them again. Because there will be a day when God will judge the world. And it will come like a thief in the night. We won't know when it's here. It could be right now. It could be tomorrow. It could be 2,000 years from now. You never know when the last time you're going to get to speak to that person. Don't miss your opportunities. Because they just might need you. As we go ahead and stand, I want you to think about that person. I want you to ask God for opportunities to speak into that person's life. If you want to come down to this altar and you want to pray for that person, you want to pray for that family member or that friend, this is your chance to do so. This is your chance to lay that name before the Father's feet. It's okay to ask God for help. God wants you to.